Alrighty then. Can you guys hear me now? Alright, great. So, good morning, people. It's wonderful to see you all here. This is Carrie Christensen here at your service for Sunday morning gathering, and delighted to be among you. So, anyway, I think, I guess you guys know I'm kind of a noob to this, and this is my second time doing it, so I'm going back and forth looking at the program guide to remember where I'm supposed to be at. So, as always, I ask for your blessing and your patience, and, well, of course, I know you're here, because you're here to hear the word. And so because you are here to hear the word, I trust that I am a vessel of that word for this gathering today. So let's just go ahead and play our song. We have a song that we always play as a, you know, while the members greet each other. And usually it's a, it's called We Are Awakening. But I picked something else today that's just to switch things up a little bit. Basically, it's exactly the same theme, just a little different song and a different artist. And it's called Opening, and it's by John Astin. So I'm going to go ahead and play that while we welcome each other into the room. And I need to do mic switching, so it takes a few seconds.
Awakening, we are opening.
good. Okay, I hope you guys enjoyed that. Just a little switcheroo on melody, but not on content. Let's see. I have to go back now and find where we're at. oh no. Oh, you guys, I'm really sorry. Somehow, I lost on the computer. It just went down, or it didn't go down, but I lost something. I had the website up and to the order and all that. Oh my goodness, I'm so funny. You gotta laugh. And it was all up, and now it's not quite. And so, I need to... find the order of things again. Have the announcements, but okay. Making myself cough. Here we go. Statement of purpose. All right. So now I have to move over to find that. And that would be about us, purpose and values. And you know what? I was looking at it last night, and I hope it doesn't take too much time, but I want to read the whole thing because it's really valuable. And as the talk that I'm going to do today, I'm not going to get into the talk yet, but obviously, but of course, we've had some interesting activities and opportunities for awakening and recognizing beliefs that we have that are blocks to the awareness of love's presence recently in our community, and which is a beautiful thing, and because of that, that's what my message is going to be relevant to. But of course it's relevant to everything, but everything that's in here, everything that's in our purpose and values is relevant. So I'm just going to read the whole thing. Purpose and values. There is a consistent wisdom in the universe. It shows up in all religions, in philosophy, in all cultures, and throughout time. This wisdom is not unique or new. It is owned by no one and by no organization. No one has to go to a special place or special teacher to find it. It is the most abundant wisdom in the universe. Once one opens his or her heart to this wisdom, it appears everywhere by the hand of universal grace. That's true, and that's beautiful. It appears everywhere by the hand of universal grace once we open to it. It's like the whole world is scripture. There's also a way of not seeing universal wisdom. We all have the ability to be distracted from it by self-limiting and segmenting beliefs. And that's kind of what we're here to look at today. What is awakening together? What are we? Who are we and why the heck are we here? Awakening together is a universal assembly of peers dedicated to recognizing and embracing universal wisdom, regardless of the form in which it appears. We are also dedicated to recognizing the ways we deny universal wisdom by adopting personal beliefs and biases. We want to recognize these limitations, yes, and we want to become ever more skillful in that recognition and joyous in that recognition. Recognize these limitations so we can free ourselves from them and open to the continuous flow of universal wisdom. Our purpose. We are an assembly of equals, joined in common purpose, awakening to one true self. Within an appearance of many faiths, many cultures, and many symbols, we seek to discern one truth and rest in its embrace. And right now I'm teaching a class on radical forgiveness at church, you know, at my other church, my brick and mortar church, and where I'm an associate minister and a religious science practitioner as well. And one of the people in the class came in yesterday. We did breath work was so beautiful. And she came in, and I don't know, she just, you know, had been having a lot of opening through forgiveness, and she was just, she did an earnest, she quoted Ernest Holmes, and said, it was from something in 365 Science of Mind, and I couldn't find it, but it was basically, you know, one way to say, there's 100 million ways to say the same thing, but turn towards the light and let the shadow fall behind you. You know? Anyway, it was just sweet. And I wanted to share it with you guys. And it felt relevant to our purpose. Turn towards the light and let the shadows fall behind you. Our core values. We trust everyone is led. There are six, five. We trust everyone is led by unique inner guidance to one experience called awakening, which is realization of one true self. We live this value by supporting one another on different paths of awakening. Yeah, trusting. Trusting. Which is what we're going to talk about today. Everyone is led, without a doubt and without exception. We realize everyone is equal, and no one has been given spiritual intuition that is an authority over the spiritual intuition of others. We live this value by listening to each other. By listening to each other, respecting each other, and allowing each one to be where he or she is. Amen. We accept one true self, which is one presence or being, non-dual, without beginning or end, and absolutely changeless. We live this value by practicing letting go of the belief in the individual self as who we are. Yes, and this is, I don't know if it's exactly, I think it is with this. You know, this is, it's one self. If we remember that it's all one thing, in each of us is an aspect of one self awakening to itself, it kind of changes everything, you know. Nothing can be personal. We affirm one true self as the only truth. We live this value by embracing what is helpful on the path of awakening without idolizing any spiritual doctrine as truth. We accept all forms as temporary appearances permitted through enduring awareness of self. We live this value by honoring all appearances and all experiences while continually reflecting on changeless truth. Yes, beautiful. Thank you. Thank you for, I'm just really wanted to read that whole thing today. So, sorry, I have to go back into the order of service. Where are we? When I first pulled this all up, I was so organized because I had it all, you know, I had a couple different things up. So I had it all up and I could like go back and forth. But okay, I'm really apologize, guys. I'm now confused about where to find things. Because it's happened. That happens. It's under Interact Weekly Gatherings. Okay. And then you have to go through three sort of, yes, many steps to get to the order of service. But here we are. Alrighty. So, announcements. Okay, very good. Announcements. Two spaces. Regina sent me the announcements, and here we go. Two spaces are left for the introduction to the Minister Preparation Program on Thursday evening, August 11th, from 8 to 10 Eastern Time. Okay, so that is the intro to MPP, August 11th, from 8 to 10 Eastern Time. It's a free two-hour class that provides information about MPP, so you can decide if you want to take it. If you're interested, please go to awakeningtogether.org click on the classes menu, and then click register now to start the Minister Preparation Program. So, once again, that class will be taking place on August 11th, Thursday evening, August 11th, at 8 o'clock Eastern Time. And, oh, this is important. They're all important. There are still 2 weeks left to get early bird pricing for the Awakening Together Fall Retreat. And that retreat is going to be fabulous. I went to last year's retreat. I went to two Awakening Together retreats last year. And I went to the one in 14. The one last year was in Colorado Springs at the same venue where it's going to be this year, which was gorgeous. Up on the side of a mountain, you know, outside of Colorado Springs. And I guess it's still within the city limits, but you're out in the country. And there's hiking, and it's gorgeous. And there are deer that sort of rest idyllically. It's Franciscan, you know, it's Franciscan, and the animals are there. I'm going to cry. It's good. Yeah, so... And Regina is going to be doing 5 days, and honestly, I didn't think to go look at the thing, so I don't know what her topic is. But Regina, we know Regina is amazing. It's always good. That'll be Monday through Thursday, or 4 days, and or maybe five. Maybe it starts Sunday night. You know, you guys, you got to go to the website and check it all out. But 2 weeks left for special pricing. So and then. Friday is Brent Haskell, who I had the privilege of getting to see in February, and he was absolutely delightful, and I am very much looking forward to seeing him again. And then John Mark Stroud over the weekend, and I have never seen him, but so I can't vouch for him personally, but I've just seen him online and listened and read a few things, and I'm really looking forward. He feels good from here. So looking forward to him as well very much. So that's my take on it. 2 weeks to get the early bird pricing. Get it while it's hot. Tonight in the sanctuary, there will be a special member meeting at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Regina has said that she will address some concerns that there have been about Awakening Together's sanctuary etiquette rules and related matters. She's also going to introduce some changes that are coming to the sanctuary on September 1st. This is a pretty important meeting for our members, so please be there if you can. I will be there. After the meeting, Carrie Triffitt will be here at 9 p.m. Eastern Time for the fourth week of her 8-week miniseries, Living in Mastery. So, looks like it's going to be a great evening in the sanctuary, and I'll look forward to seeing some of you there. Everyone's welcome. As Lynn posted on the board. And so if you're not on the board, if you're listening on the radio, everyone is welcome to the meeting. You don't have to be a member. So anyone that loves Awakening Together and has interest in its trajectory wants to be there. So, and let's see, going back. Okay, so that's it for the announcements. Oh, and we have an opening song. Okay, good. Our opening song is going to be... I'm on a little bit of a Beatles kick because we had a wonderful performer at my brick-and-mortar church. It's called the Center for Conscious Living in Morristown, New Jersey. If you happen to live near there, come visit us. It's amazing. It's just as beautiful as this one. A little different, but just fabulous. Her name was Elaine Silver, and she's a lovely performer. And she has a beautiful program she's put together about the spiritual music of the Beatles. And it just was very lovely to me. It's very touching to me, and I'm suspecting probably to a lot of you, because a lot of us kind of grew up with the Beatles, and even for me, from the time I was very small, you know, I guess they started when the year I was born, they became famous. 1962. And so they were like the soundtrack to my young life. And so not only are the not only is the content fabulous, but I think it touches a lot of us, you know, because of that, because we so grew up with them, or at whatever stage we were at that time. So anyway, so here's a song, and it's a John Lennon song. It's from the Let It Be album called Across the Universe. Actually played it last Wednesday too, but I found a better version, the one that's actually from Let It Be. And just to say, you know, he has the big line in there is, nothing's going to change my world. And obviously he's not talking about world in Course in Miracles speak. He's talking about, you know, the true self, the isness, the all that is. So anyway, let me just cut to the chase and get you your song.
Change my world.
Okay. So,
Carrie, you dropped the mic.
Okay, thanks. Can you guys hear me now? Great. Yeah, I was just going to say, normally, you know, now it's time for the invocation, and normally I do that myself, or I don't read, you know, I just pray, because as a religious scientist, I don't know if you guys heard any of that as I was saying it, you know, I am sort of a praying fool, and as most religious scientists are, it's wonderful. That's one of the wonderful aspects of religious science, is really a lot of focus on prayer. And but at any rate, I had a feeling, a praying fool, yep. At any rate, I decided, I was moved to read something from Ernest Holmes today, and as our invocation, and it comes from a book called 365 Science of Mind, which, you know, daily meditations or contemplations for from Ernest Holmes' writings. At any rate, this one came from January 5th, and it's called I Am at Home in the Universe. And he always has scripture, and there's always scripture at the beginning. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. John 17:10. This meditation may be considered an all-inclusive prayer because it includes ourselves and others. It is truly doing unto ourselves that which we would like them to do unto us, and it establishes a unity between ourselves and those around us, a feeling that we all are some part of the kingdom of good. This all-inclusive prayer, then, is one that expands our consciousness of the true self and at the same time blesses all others. Yes, expanding the consciousness of the true self does bless all others. So, he goes on to say, then this is the prayer itself. Believing that there is a divine presence closer to me than my very breath, that I live in perfect spirit, that the God around and the God within me is one God, I say, my Father which art in heaven within me, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come now, and I accept it. Looking about me, I say to all people, your Father which is in your heaven within you, hallowed be his name, for you are one with him forevermore. There is one life, and that life is God, and that life is perfect. That life is your life now. Looking upon the circumstances that surround me, I bless them even as Jesus blessed the bread and broke it, even as the loaves and fishes multiplied in the outstretched and upturned hand of his love. So I know. So I know that everything in my experience that is good is multiplied and increased. Even as I feel the increase pressing into my own experience, I give it out that it may feed and bless and multiply the good of others who are some part of me, because God is in them and in me, and we are in each other. Amen. So, amen, amen, amen. And now we have a reading. Ruby Nassar is going to read from the Manual for Teachers about the qualities of the teachers of God. And she's going to read about trust, which is the first quality, of course, the quality upon which all the others rest. Trust and the development of trust. And it's kind of a long reading, but I know you guys will appreciate it. So thank you. And Ruby, the mic is all yours. I'm going to drop it. And just
thank you, Carrie. This is from The Course of Miracles.
page 9 in the manual for teachers. And the category is, what are the characteristics of God's teachers? Trust. This is the foundation on which their ability to fulfill their function rests. Perception is a result of learning. In fact, perception is learning because cause and effect are never separated. The teachers of God have trust in the world because they have governed, because they have learned it is not governed by the laws the world makes up. It is governed by a power that is in them, but not of them. It is this power that keeps all things safe. It is through this power that the teachers of God look on a forgiven world. When this power has once been experienced, it is impossible to trust one's own petty strength again. Who would attempt to fly with the tiny wings of a sparrow when the mighty power of an eagle has been given him? And who would place his faith in the shabby offerings of the eagle when the gifts of God are laid before him? What is it that induces them to make the shift? A development of trust. First, they must go through what might be called a period of undoing. It seems as that they lack value. It seems, and it is rarely understood initially that they lack a value, that their lack of value is merely being recognized. How can lack of value be perceived unless the perceiver is in a position where he, in which he can make the shift entirely, eternally? And so the plan will sometimes call for changes in what seems to be external circumstances. These changes are goes on to the second stage. Next, the teacher of God must go through a period of sorting out. This is always somewhat difficult because having learned that the changes in his life are always helpful, he must now decide all things on the basis of whether they increase the helpfulness or hamper it. He will find that many, if not most, of things he valued before were merely hindering his ability to transfer what he has learned to new situations as they rise. Because he has valued what is really valueless, he will not generalize the lesson for fear of loss and sacrifice. It takes great learning to understand that all things, events, encounters, and circumstances are helpful. It is only to the extent to which they are helpful that any degree of reality value can apply to nothing else. The third stage through which the teacher of God must go can be called a period of relinquishment. If this is interpreted as giving up the desire, it will engender enormous conflict. Fewer teachers of God escape this distress entirely. This is, however, no point in sorting out the value from the valueless unless the next obvious step is taken. Therefore, the period of overlap is apt to be one in which the teacher of God feels called upon to sacrifice his own best interest on behalf of truth. He has not realized as yet how wholly impossible such a demand could be. He can only learn this only as he actually does give up the valueless. Through this, he learns that where he anticipated grief, he found. Now comes the period of settling down, states his learning. Now he begins to see the transfer value of what he has learned, progress at which he sees his whole way out. Give up what you do not want and keep what you do. How simple is this? The obvious. Now he rests a while and gathers them before going on. He will not go on from here alone. The next stage is indeed a period of unsettling. Now must the teacher of God understand he did not really know what was valuable and what was valueless in teaching him the difference. The idea of sacrifice, so central to his thought system, had made it impossible for him to judge. He thought he learned willingness, but now he sees that he did not know what willingness is for. And now he must attain a state that may remain impossible to reach for a long, long time. He must learn to lay all judgment aside and ask only what he really wants. Were not each step in this direction so heavily reinforced, it would be hard indeed. And finally, there is a period of achievement. It is here that learning is consolidated. Now, what was seen as merely shadows before become solid gains to be counted on in all emergencies as well as tranquil times. Indeed, the tranquility is their result. The outcome of honest learning, consistency of thought, and full transfer. This is the stage of real peace, for here is heaven's state fully reflected. From here, the way to heaven is open and easy. In fact,
yeah, it kind of really speaks, says it all, speaks into what's going on.
Can you drop the mic again?
Okay. Can you guys hear me now? Okay. Thanks, Barb. Yeah, that so beautifully speaks into our beautiful, you know, healing opportunity that's been coming up for us, you know, the eachness and the allness of us. It's so interesting when something comes up that affects so many people at once. And so I just want to speak into this. I'm looking at my time. Okay. And I'm going to go back and look at the order again to make sure what I'm... Okay, good. All right, we're in good shape. Of course, we're always in good shape, are we not? Yeah. So I'm going to talk about this, and in order, and what I really want to talk about is my personal healing through all of this, because what I find inspiring when I hear people speak, you know, we just read beautiful spiritual principle, we talk about it all the time, but what I really appreciate is when, you know, testimony, the Pentecostals and stuff, the evangelists use testimony so much, and we do here too. And where the rubber of our spiritual practice of these spiritual principles is hitting the road in our consciousness. And it is inspiring. And so in order for me to share about my personal healing, and I may need to do something, hopefully it won't be weeks ago, where I am on the board of trustees. And before, I didn't really know there was any sort of issue about the room or etiquette or enforcement of etiquette. And I'm trusting that everybody here is aware that some of that has been going on. But I had I really didn't know. I come in for 4 hours a week pretty much, and I listen, and other than that, I listen to recordings. So I don't really see what goes on the board except when I'm in the room. And in the year I've been doing it until just last week, I never had red dotted anyone. And then when I did go to red dot someone, I didn't know how to do it, so it was a hoot. And it's just, actually, that was perfect because it made it light was her handling things lovingly. And I did feel very loving. I felt very, it was very easy. It was like nothing, it enriched the process of what was going on with the group. It was good and beautiful. And for me, anyway. And so I kind of laughed that I was, because what I want to talk about is our personal adjustments. And so that the way that happened in the room when I was admining and I was the moderator or the facilitator of the group, it wasn't something that triggered me. You know, it just wasn't. And so that's what's interesting, is we are all one, and ultimately we're all waking up to the same truth, but our portals and our access and our triggers to the erroneous beliefs that are often very primal and deep, that are in the code in our collective belief structures, that we are at the effect of, you know, whether we want to acknowledge that or not. I mean, we contribute to it individually, and we are at the effect of it individually and the only place that we have, you know, it's very funny. I wrote something back and forth to the board when we were talking about this sort of the thing that was going on. I said, I am the cheese of nothing, but I take that back. I am the cheese. The only thing I am the cheese of is my own mind. This little part of this one mind. And yet, my awareness of all that is through the portal of my one mind. And so I am the cheese in that way of everything, as you are as well. And and my power is my willingness and my surrender and my forgiveness, my willingness to be mistaken. So at any rate, what occurred I love this organization. I love it. I love what it stands for. I am crazy, and therefore, what our healing, where our healing opportunities, and how they present themselves to us personally. And so, what happened when the stuff started to become apparent to me, not knowing about the things had been sort of stirred up already, and someone talked about, made an announcement of absolutely thrown for a loop. And my response to that was, my personal internal response was very strong. And I couldn't even describe it at the time because I was all into, pretty much into projecting and seeing other people as the cause of my challenge, right? Which is what the ego does. And pretty much the more spiritually astute we become, the more spiritually astute our ego becomes, right? So so it's good to watch out for that. And then I started to see, and there was a little back and forth, and I started to see there were several players, but two primary players. And it was easy for me to see. And I won't go into the details. And I love them, and they're both amazing. You know, people that I respect and look up to, and not look up to. We don't look up to anyone, but you know, honor my mighty companions. And I could see. It was very easy for me to see that what they were experiencing was, and they were expressing a lack of trust in individuals, and I could see that what they were experiencing was a primal effect of, and I could see that it was an opportunity for us because, I mean, I think a lot of people tend to eschew political activism and even sometimes might think ourselves above it, perhaps, possibly. And yet, here we are, in the thick of it, eh? In the thick of it, in our own little organization. It's the same. Same. Same stuff. Same energy. Same belief behind it. So, so that was all clear to me. But what was funny was, I hadn't yet really wondered why I was so upset. And I was reacting to this. I had a lot of desire. I was like, okay, kids, come on. You know, remember your spiritual principles. Let's play nice. You know you love each other. You know we're joined in purpose. And, of course, we are. And this is part of it. We are joined in purpose. We are joined in purpose of healing and awakening to this one self, this one truth, this one perfect love intelligence, these great rays. We are joined in that purpose. And this is, you know, a great adventure, an integral part of our awakening to that. And so, but what I didn't yet look at, which is really kind of a hoot, I was blessed to get to have conversations with both of these people. And And the funny thing is, you know, when people are in conflict, they often sound, when you're with them, you know, you notice that they sound similar, even though they're objecting to each other. But of course, when we're objecting, we're just acting out from this conditioning. And the conditioning, don't underestimate that collective conditioning and how it might affect you. You know, if you fall, when we step into whatever our own triggers are, even be grateful for it, you know, when it's that intense, because it's very motivating. Lynn was just playing a teaching from Regina earlier, and it was so beautiful, and all about the trust, and I can't remember all the details now, but I just want to acknowledge Regina as such a... and I acknowledge God as Regina, through Regina, bringing such clarity and great teachings to us. How to keep remembering, you know. And that's what we can do for each other. Keep remembering to look within. And also what we do for each other is the prayer, is we do keep the high watch. When it's easy for you, when you're not triggered, you're keeping the high watch for your brothers and sisters. High watch, above the battleground, whatever you want to call it. You know, turning towards the light and letting the shadow fall behind you. There are times when it's easier for some of us than for others, and that's why we have spiritual community. You know, that's the purpose of Sangha, is to, when it's easy for you, hold that clarity and that love for your brothers who are down in the conditioning, for whom it's not easy for at the moment, but they're doing the big work, you know? And so just love them and know that they're about their father's business, you know? Yeah, it's so true. Yeah. So I keep coming back. I haven't revealed my own thing. So all this is going on, and I started to realize how much desire for control, I guess. You know, I really wanted to manipulate the situation. But I think, you know, I mean, it wasn't wrong. It's all perfect. It's all good. But I had to look at that. I wanted my brothers to be different than they were being. You know, I wanted that. I wanted it. And I had to look at that. I had to look at, why did I think that I would feel better if my brother's behavior was different? Or if my brothers expressed themselves differently. And what came to me when I was honest with myself, I looked at that and I thought, oh my God, my happy spiritual family, you know, earlier about how attached I've become, which is a portal, you know, it's okay, it's good, because it's teaching me something, to my Awakening Together family and this Sangha. And how we, you know, and our abidance in our principles. And so I realized that, and I was starting to feel this incredible, like, heartbreak, which you would think might be very I thought, this is out of proportion, you know, to this. It was so strong. It was like heartbreak and despair. It was so intense. And I really asked myself, what's going on here? You know, I know that safety is truth. I know that. And yet I'm feeling this heartbreak and despair. And what I realized, I went back and felt something. I was feeling a heartbreak and despair that maybe I hadn't felt in maybe 5 years since my husband died. That deep. About my perception of this, of our spiritual community. And what came to me was, oh my God, I felt like I was 5 years old again, and my parents are divorcing, my parents are separating, and Mommy and Daddy hate each other. They're still crying about it, so it still isn't totally cleared. Mommy and Daddy hate each other. There's nothing I can do about it. There's nothing I can do about it. And I'm so not safe. No where, no way, no how am I safe? And so I realized that that belief was still alive and well and working in me. And not only was it alive and working in me, but it's alive and well and working in the collective. Because that same day that I had that revelation, that same day on the news, I saw about, this was a week and a half ago, I saw about a fellow in Miami, a black guy that was a social worker that was with the young autistic person, an adult autistic person, and something was going on that drew the attention of police. And somehow, and I don't really understand that whole story, but somehow the fellow who was the social worker ended up on his back on the ground with his hands in the air saying, "Don't shoot me, you know, I'm not armed," something like that. And the officer shot him anyway, shot him in the leg apparently. So he, you know, it wasn't a fatal wound, but he said, and then he said to the officer, "Why did you shoot me?" And the officer said, "I don't know. I don't know." And it broke my, and again, I touched it. It was this broken hearted despair about my family, my human family. And clearly, you know, there's a part, I'm still tapping into the aspect of that still believes that, that we're just not safe with each other. And so I just asked. Clearly, I know, intellectually, and we can all type on the board, you know, only perfect love exists, and that's true. And yet there are beliefs. As Course in Miracles and Rumi both say, we need not search for love, but we need to search and, you know, search and allow to be healed the blocks to our awareness of love's presence. And that's a big one. That is a big, fat, freaking huge one that is so stirred up in our collective consciousness right now. And it's not huge, literally, because there is no order of difficulty in miracles. No order, no hierarchy of illusion. But it feels big. It feels big in the collective. And it's very primal. It's very primal. And what I was aware of is that, of course, that's not true. Life cannot betray itself. Life is one thing. How could it betray itself? It can't abandon itself. But if unsafeness is not what I am, then what I am I, you know? I am safety itself. I am safety because I am this one life. And so, what I realized is it was so intense for me. And I have a very open, wide heart. You know, I even know. I mean, I think we all do or we wouldn't be here. My gift, my spiritual gift after my first year of seminary, not Awakening Together Seminary, but One Spirit Seminary, where there was a lot of ritual and we did it. Huge meditation, and after our first year, and there were 95 of us or something, 96 in the room in this beautiful chapel in a retreat center that was a monastery up on the Hudson, up in upstate New York. It was, oh my God, it was a beautiful place. And we all sat there and we had, you know, ritual, ceremony. And we did collectively a guided, you know, a meditation to receive our primary spiritual gift for our ministry. And it's so funny. I was so not raised Christian or Catholic, but I am so moved by by Catholic symbolism, and I get it. You know, I just get these downloads of the purity of it. And my gift was the Sacred Heart, which I didn't even understand then. That was years ago. Didn't understand it as well. I keep coming to understand it more and more clearly. But the Sacred Heart is the intersection of the crucifix, you know, the vertical aspect that is the divine, which is intersecting with this horizontal aspect, which is the human trajectory. And right where they intersect is the Sacred Heart, which appears to be wounded but is also on fire. It's the symbol of purification and grace. It is the symbol of, it accepts everything, it rejects nothing. It is the center of purification. And so that's my gift. And I have, for whatever reason, a great willingness to touch. And what I realized was when I touched this primal belief in unsafeness through the portal of remembering the absolute despair and heartbreak of a little 5-year-old child whose family was falling apart. And felt so hopeless and sad, heartbroken. That was my portal to touch that collective primal belief in unsafeness. And I wondered, and even now the waves are still going through me. And what I got when I asked for help is, it's like rest, it's the rat, you know, rest, accept, and trust. I had touched something that was so primal in the collective psyche that it was like being a tuning fork or a singing bowl or something, you know. I had touched it, and this particular vessel that seems to be me, whatever I think that is, was, it's like the vibration of that. I am willing to be mistaken about that. But the vibe, and so in some ways I was wondering, why doesn't it stop? You know, of course I wanted it to stop. And it's like, well, the vibration isn't done. The tuning fork, you can't just grab a hold of it and stop it. You just let it. You just let it wind down. Let that vibration move all the way through until it's complete. And I was so grateful for that. And it was very beautiful. And it was also extremely intense. And so it was interesting because I was also in the midst, like 2 days. I didn't just weep, I wailed. I wailed. I was by myself in my car or home wailing about this, you know, for 2 days on and off. And I just let that tuning fork finish what it was doing. And I was driving in on a Saturday morning to teach to, you know, facilitate radical forgiveness class. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, what do I have for these people? You know? And I just asked, you know, again, if this is not what I am, like, what is it? What am I? And the answer was, you are the awareness. Your isness awareness that is willing to experience this and process it. And I, you know, I am the awareness, I am the isness, I am the pure love, I am the grace, I can say that. But at that moment, that was clarity. I am the awareness that is willing to experience and process this. I am willing to be the portal of purification for whatever degree of that collective belief that I was willing to feel. And so I'm grateful for that. And therefore, I am grateful, so, so grateful. I trust life, you know, we trust life. So grateful, and for how each and every part in what may appear to be a drama gets played, because every part needs to get played. Every part is essential and integral, all of our parts. And it serves the awakening of each of us. And the portal of where it touches, how it touches you or where it affects you might be totally different than somebody else's. And yet, it clearly is affecting a lot of us. So, I just wanted to share that, you know. Just wanted to share that. It's 11:31. And I just wanted to share how personally and profoundly that beautifully whatever's going on in this room was a great and beautiful healing opportunity for me. And I am grateful for it, and I'm grateful for the teachings, grateful for root cause inquiry. I'm grateful for Colin Tipping and his radical forgiveness worksheets. I didn't actually do a worksheet, but and of course, Course in Miracles, all of it, everything, all the principle that we keep preparing the soil. All we're doing here in studying spiritual principle is preparing the soil of our soul, you know, for fruit. You know, for fruit. We're cultivating for grace, for the fruit of grace. For when these things come up that seem to be challenges, so that we can quickly turn within and ask for help and say, why is this, what's here for me? You know, not how does everything else need to get fixed, but what's here for me? And allow that healing to take place. You know, I'm not saying that any of the principle that I was saying about all of us remembering spiritual principle, and I love if my friends have a healing, it tickles the ever-loving crap out of me if they find the love and joint purpose again, you know, if they remember that and feel it, experience it. You know, I love that. Of course, healing, oh God, is so inspiring. And yet, that's just the gravy, you know? That's the gravy. The real, for me, the meat of it is always, it's going within and finding, you know, finding where we are, where our personal touchstone is, where we can personally touch, you know, that vibration and allow it to move through us and be a portal of healing and transformation of the code. Because we're always being it. We're always affecting it one way or another. And let's lighten it up, eh? Let's lighten it up. And on that note, I am going to play us. Yeah, you guys are welcome. Thanks for listening. And that's, I just wanted to share that, you know, how, remember, yeah, the tuning fork, it will vibrate until it's done. And, oh, you know what else I want to add about that? I have, after this experience, you know, this is just little tickly, again, gravy, icing on the cake. But all this week, I have had these sweet, delightful memories that I had repressed of my early childhood. They've been bubbling up. You know, because I allowed that healing. Personally, it's just a little personal treats. But that kind of stuff happens. You gotta love it when that stuff happens. Gotta love it. So I was just remembering my mother and my father and my sister and the love, you know, that we shared, and nothing can change that. You know, only my memory can block it out. So, removing the veils, yes, removing the veils, bits of God laid before us, just the little tidbits, and isn't it precious, and isn't it sweet, and aren't we grateful? Yeah, the many veils, the scales fall from our eyes, and they do, and so they do, and so we are. So, you know, on my Beatles theme, I just want to play another song, and it is about, it's about us, it's about all of us. I hope you enjoy it. And then I'm going to pray us out. Do a benediction, as we do. Let's see here.
Try not to sing, gotta keep. Oh, I get by.
Terry, the music stopped. You dropped the mic.
You guys can hear me. Can you hear me? Love to see a yes, seeing as I've had some issues with the mic today. Okay, great. Thanks. Yeah. You know what? You know what? I kind of missed a point, right? When I talked about the fellow, the officer who didn't know why he shot the fellow, it just, I guess, what really touched me about it, I felt the unsafeness, but what also came through that is the innocence of my brothers. You know, even when we think we know why, he didn't know why. But sometimes we seem premeditated or we think we know why, we still don't know why. We don't know, you know. We're never upset for the reason that we think. And we can all be at the effect of that collective, just to realize that anyone could be at the effect of the collective belief in the code at any time, depending on where your vibration is and what your triggers are. And so it just was so clear how innocent we all are, how precious and innocent. So anyway, and thanks for the help from my friends, you know, and that's what we are for each other. So anyway, I'm going to do a little benediction, and I just want to express gratitude for this Awakening Together Sangha, this beautiful gathering of amazing souls that are, and the willingness to have the experiences that we have and to look within, process them personally, and yet join together, to be joined in purpose of this healing, of this awakening, and of witnessing the innocence and the blessedness and the preciousness of the eachness and the allness of us. Just so grateful for this venue, for this opportunity, for this gathering, and for the principles and intentions in which we are joined. And the fruits of that, the fruits of grace of that, that beautify our experience and help to usher in this happy dream. It's a happy dream. It's all so beautiful. And so in this gratitude, I just release this word. I release it. I bless it. And I allow it to be. And so it is. Amen, amen, amen. So I think next, we did go over sorry about that, guys. I got a little carried away with the time. So what do we have next here? I think we have open sharing. Yes. Oh, great. Okay. All done. Amen. A woman. Oh, Jerry. That's my friend Jerry. And we have a friend. We have a friend that always says a woman. A mutual friend. It's so nice to see everybody here. Okay, I am going to let go of this mic and look forward to the open sharing. All right. God bless you all. I love you. All right. CK love. The mic is all yours. Oh, I'm having a time. Okay, now I can drop it.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Christina. Good morning, everybody. Iris and... So good to see you guys. Beautiful, beautiful sharing, Carrie. I think I was, when I used to live in New Jersey, I think I was at your church. Hi, angel girl, my Lynn. I love you. Anyway, I think I was at the Science of Mind church once. I lived in Burlington, New Jersey. Anyway, it was beautiful, just beautiful. And anyway, so what you were sharing, I still don't know what's going on. You know, I have no clue. And really, for me, it is a release because I don't have to know. I don't have to know anything. As a matter of fact, I really don't know what anything is for. You know, I just don't. And every opinion is somebody else's opinion, and that's, we know who that's from. So it really doesn't matter. But today's lesson, when you were sharing, is just so magnificent. It's 2:13, and well, I'm looking at 2:13 anyway. And it says, I am not a body. I am free, for I am still as God created me. All things are lessons God would have me learn. And then it says, a lesson is a miracle which God offers to me. In place of thoughts I made that hurt me, what I learn of Him, capital H, becomes the way I am set free. Ah. And so I choose to learn His lessons, my Creator's lessons, and forget my own. I am not a body. I am free. For I am still as God created me. All right? It just like shuts me up because I do not know what anything is for. And then in the lesson 2:14, he says, I am not a body. I am free, for I am still as God created me. And lesson 194, I place the future in the hands of God. I place the future in the hands of God. I place the future in the hands of God. The past is gone. Finito. No past. Nima. The future is not yet. Now am I freed from both. For what God gives can only be for good, and I accept but what He gives, capital H, as what belongs to me. I am not a body. I am free, for I am still as God created me. And in that stillness, and in that listening, in each moment, is what is. And really, that's all. It's just, you know, this moment, this now, this love, this light, this peace, this joy. I mean, in my life, you know, like you, Carrie, I've gone through marriage, divorce, Hurricane Andrew. I'm in a program of recovery. I hit a bottom that I don't even want to go there because it's just been 33 years ago, and I'm grateful to God. And that it's, you know, and the process, the progress, what we say in the 12 steps is progress. Process is going on because I'm still in this physical, you know, body. I am not my body. I am free, for I am still as God created me. So as I surrender my body, my whole being, to the Holy Spirit, then I am open to, you know, His guidance, His love, His whatever is supposed to be, you know, not according to my will, because there is no my little will. There is no such thing. There is only one will, and that is God's will, and that's what I am. Okay? That's what I am. And that's what I want to listen to. Because the other stuff is just, everything passes. Everything passes, you know. It doesn't matter. It's all matter. It just doesn't matter. It's all matter. Our bodies are matter. This earth is matter. Even if you look at the grass, it changes. It comes back. It doesn't. It's got to be cut. It's flowers the same way. You know, but as I am spirit, spirit am I, a holy child of God Himself. That's what I am. That's what we are. And whether we understand it or not, it does not, that especially doesn't matter. Because this is a highly individualized curriculum. Highly individualized curriculum. So, whatever comes my path, I surrender it to the Holy Spirit. And I ask for His guidance. What is this for? What is it for? I don't know. I do not know. But the Spirit of my Creator knows what it's for. It's for my highest good. It's for my highest good. It's all for my highest good. No matter what I see, it's all for my highest good. I tell you guys, I'm just so grateful to our Father that I really have words cannot even explain. That I do feel the love of God within me. That's lesson 189 from the Course in Miracles. And I also ask Jesus Christ for what is it for me that, you know, that I would love to just practice, you know, each and every day, each and every moment. And what it came to me was, who walks with me? Ask 1,000 times a day, who walks with me? Who's here with me? Who rides with me? No matter what I'm doing. And then he went and I dreamed of a page 4. Let's see, in my book here, I'll tell you exactly. It's at the end of the lessons, page 487, the epilogue. This course is not a beginning and not an end. Your friend goes with you. That's how it starts. And practicing. Practice, practice, practice. So God bless each and every one of us, and may you be blessed this day and every moment. And I'm dropping the mic. And I love you guys.
I don't know, Carrie, if you wanted to respond to what Christina just said. We are still recording, and so if you have any comments, anyone, about today's service, please, please, please put your hand up. I'd love to hear it. I, of course, have lots of thoughts about today's service, and really so wonderful that you picked the part of the manual for teachers, the development of trust, because that really is what that's really what started me on this whole path, was knowing that only by developing trust, and it's the only thing that I'm responsible for, all the rest of the characteristics of God's teachers come to you naturally once you have developed trust. But development of trust is something that takes great willingness and effort. It's not just a little willingness. It does take great willingness and effort. And, you know, you even go through a whole point where you think that you've made it. And, wow, you know, I finally, you know, got it. And then things start becoming unraveled again because, you know, that's just a stopping point. And what happens is we get to these stopping points and, you know, we're supposed to be resting and preparing for the rest of the journey. We're going up a mountain and we stop, you know, to let our car cool off or to rest or whatever. But then we get to that point, that plateau where we feel safe and we feel like, okay, everything's going okay. But there's still more that I'm holding on to. And we gather mighty companions exactly in that place, exactly. But in that place, I'm still holding on to things. It's like, the movie The Nines that we watched. And how every time it would come to the point where he was being shifted to move on, he had to hold on. He still had Melissa McCarthy and the whole ego thought system to hold on to keep him safe, to keep him, make him feel healthy and happy in that place. But then the move would come again, the shift would come again, and every time the shift would come and he resisted it and decided he wanted to stay in that place, he was moved again and again and again, till it got to the point where he needed to be radically moved so much that the last and only step they could take was to actually murder him, kill him, take away his life here. That was the only thing that finally got to him, that this was, he was not really human, he was not really here, and this world was a projection of his own mind. But until he got to that point, he would not believe it. And so he would stay in the safe place as long as he could, and until he got shifted to move, would not move. And this is what I have been doing. You know, I have been in a safe place. It seemed like, you know, I had my work to do when I came here. I had my work to do. It was given to me to take what was kind of rough around the edges, but beautiful, and to polish it and make it into something that is no longer rough around the edges. And I had come to the conclusion after all these years that that is what really happened, and that, you know, now this room was a peaceful place where, you know, nothing could stir the peace, nothing could upset me, nothing could cause anything to go wrong. And And so I stuck here. And when Spirit was kind of shifting me and saying, now it's time to, you know, you've done your job, you know, time to move on, I was like, no, this is my home, this is my family, this is my sangha, these are my people, this is my heart, this is my soul, this is my love, this is all I love, this is all I want, please don't, please don't. And it had to take something pretty radical to finally make that shift. And, you know, still my heart is saying no, but you see, if you let your heart make the shift, if you let yourself make the shift, then it's not, I'm losing everything. It's, I can have all. I can have it all. Nothing is lost and everything is held right. Every loving thought that was ever thought, still always here. Act of love, no matter how small or how insignificant, is maximal. That's the first miracle principle. It's maximal. It's as great as God's entire love. And so how can that be lost? How can that be lost? And so being open for the next adventure, that really is my heart. You know, and to bring my family with me always, no matter what, because we're never apart and we are always one. Carrie, I'm going to let go of the mic for you. Thank you so much for letting me share.
Yeah, beautiful. I actually raised my hand a while ago and you kind of made a lot of the points that I was going to make about that, about the reading, and the development of trust. And, it's so funny, when I first started studying Course in Miracles, 24 years ago, something like that, that particular passage, that's what really hooked me. That was the one, you know, the development of trust. And also the one before that about, you know, why? Why would I fly on the tiny wings of a sparrow when the mighty power of an eagle is available to me? And I was going through such an intense, you know, as we all have, you know, that first sort of awakening, such an intense awakening time. And I had so much, you know, amazing clarity and mystical experience. And I read that and you know, lots of big things, you know, whatever, things were happening. Like, I was having huge changes of mind, miraculous changes of mind, and because the world is only a projection of my mind, I was getting to see some pretty, what some would perceive remarkable, demonstrations of that. You know, things like raising the dead and stuff like that. You know, which other, you know, there are, you know, not just Jesus. There are many people that have seen things like that, and whatever, been vessels of it. I don't know if I would call myself a vessel of it. I guess I would. But the interesting thing about that passage is just what Lynn, not the only interesting thing, but what Lynn was pointing out is that resting place. And when I read that 24 years ago, I thought, I get it. I get all of this. You know, and in a way I did. I mean, I did. But it doesn't mean that there's always more. There's just always more. And now I've gone back and read it so many times. Maybe that may be the thing, the one thing I've read the most is the development of trust in the book over 24 years. And I know that the other qualities have grown in me because of my willingness to allow trust to develop within me. And yet my trust, and now I know, I look at that, and then I went through a phase where I was wondering, what stage am I at? And it's more like, it's what stage are you at in a cycle? Like, we keep cycling through. There's just always more. Who knows? You know, when we're totally abiding in truth, I guess, you know, there will be no nothing of world. Who knows? I don't even want to speculate, you know? Like I might know what anything will be like or what it is like. You know, I have had experience in this lifetime that was beyond time, space, and form, and I'm going to trust it'll be like that. And it was just pure bliss, pure light, pure no nothing, no time, no space, no form, no individuals, no... it was just experience of pure love and light. And those are just words. It was so beyond description. So I guess it'll be like that, maybe. Or it is like that. It's like that right now. It's never stopped. It's never ceased to be that. And yet, so clearly we have a lot to go. You know, there are so many places where we have tightness and constriction and hiccups and you know, and actually I think the more sort of we accept the development of trust, the more astute and rapid we become, at least that's what I find for myself, turning to the light more quickly and being willing to recognize the falseness behind of the belief that is generating any sort of suffering. You know, thank God I was wrong, as Ken Wapnick. Thank God I was wrong. And so we just get, it gets easier and easier and easier to be happy about being wrong, and it happens more quickly, and we get, we experience freedom, a greater freedom relative to what we were experiencing before, and yet we keep peeling and stripping. And so it's beautiful. And we just become, I think we become more facile, more adept, and grateful that that's so. So just keep going back, you know, that this development of trust is an ongoing thing. It's not like, oh yes, I have arrived, you know. It's ongoing, it's being refined, constantly being refined. I guess that's all I wanted to say about that. So, I will drop the mic. Ah, here's Kathy. All yours, Kathy.
Thank you for your teaching today, Carrie. I think that teaching is applicable whether one knows, you know, seemingly what's going on in the sanctuary or not. I'm one of those people who I have really no clue. I have heard snippets and bits and pieces when I tune in to listen at the odd times I do, and so there is that sense, and there's been some mention of something going on, but it's kind of reminded me of being raised in an alcoholic household where nothing was ever discussed openly. It was just kind of, you know, you knew something was going on as a kid, but you weren't sure what it was. And that's how it feels to me in this case where, you know, I don't really have to know any of the details. I don't really care to know the details. It's not important to me, it seems. But yet, as I come into the room and I hear these things, it's like, well, obviously something is going on. And then I read that there would be a meeting this evening to, I don't know, discuss something. So I will come in to be informed on that. But it just has, you know, brought up some things for me just in listening to, you know, the snippets of what's being shared without anything really being overtly said that at least I've heard. So it's just kind of weird, you know. It's just kind of one of those weird things that, you know, takes me back to a past that no longer exists. But I have to admit that that's what's happened. It's like, well, here we go again, you know, that sense that something is going on, but I don't know what that something is. Yet it feels like something that, you know, at the same time, I've had to look in my own mind, something that could be upsetting. So it's like, I don't really want to know what that is. I don't really want to know upsetting things. So I've had to look at that, too. But I appreciate the reading from A Course in Miracles on the development of trust and everything stemming from that. And so beyond all the other whatever drama might be, I do appreciate your sharing as well as the reading today. So thank you very much.
All right. Thank you so much, Kathy. And thank you, everyone. And Carrie, if you have something else to say, just please put your hand up. I know we've gone way over our time. but I am going to put on a closing song, unless you have a closing song that you'd like to play. and that would be fine as well. So that is absolutely up to you. But I'm going to go for it. All right, I'm going to play a closing song, and this is a song actually that I play for Regina and for me, and it's odd because I kind of see the two of us like these two characters, and this is two characters singing a song to each other. And if you've seen or know of the Broadway play or musical Wicked, it's about two witches who have a fundamental conflict that really just has to do with philosophy. And so, you know, they're coming to a place where they feel they must part. So here we go.
I've heard it said that people come into our lives for a reason, bringing something we must learn, and we are led to those who help us most to grow if we let them, and we help them in return. Well, I don't know if I believe that's true, but I know I'm who I am today because like a comet pulled from orbit as it passes the sun, like a stream that meets a boulder halfway through.